So I'd like to take a look at Parsha Vayakhel. Now, Parsha Vayakhel is usually a challenge. It's actually usually not a challenge because in most years, Parsha Vayakhel is coming right around the time of the Arba Parshiot and around Purim. And so we're usually talking about something related to that, which is convenient because for a lot of people, Parsha Vayakhel has very few hot topic items to pick up on. And the real focus of Vayakhel is exactly the issue of repetition. And the fact that Parsha Vayakhel is an inverted repetition of the commands in Truma, here they're being done. And of course, the very famous piece that we've talked about several times here about the fact that they're done in a reverse order and the whole thing of Bezalel as opposed to the order of Moshe and that famous Gemara. But there is one pasuk towards the end of Parsha Vayakhel which stands by itself in a graphic sense, meaning it is a separate parasha, and it is on top of the page. And one of the bad habits, I can't speak for anybody else, one of the bad habits I get into, and I think a lot of people get into, is that when we read things that we think we know, it lulls us. And we read it very quickly, we don't pay attention, and once in a while there's a little thing in there that's really surprising, but we miss it because we're kind of in a lull mode. And usually when we finish with the Egel, which we're very happy to be finished with, we go into a lull mode until Vayikra because, yeah, it's all the stuff, Truma, Tetzava, Yaakov, Kuda, right? And we don't pay attention that there are little nuances here and there that are very odd. So this is the pasuk I want to share with you. And there's several problems with it, and there are several solutions given. And we'll take a look. This is the unnamed subject in this pasuk is the subject of this entire chapter, which is Bezalel. Bezalel made this and Bezalel made that. The first pasuk in the perek says Vayas Bezalel, and from then it's Vayas, 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 he made. Vayas et ha-kior nechoshet ve'et kano nechoshet. All right, so this is fine. He had just made the Meshochan and the Menorah, and then he made the Mizbeach, and now he makes the kior and kano. The kior is the laver, which actually in English means the washing basin. And the kan is the base for it. So there's a base and a basin that's going to have water in it. And he's supposed to make it from Nechoshet, and we read about that in Parshat Ki Tisa at the beginning. And that part's fine. That's another thing he makes. Why it sits by itself is a little bit strange, but it's really not. Because if you look at the other parashot that are there about the Aron and the Shulchan and the Menorah, they all have structural details, like how many, how big, etc. And those are all put in the description of what Bezalel did. Here, there's just one pasuk, because the reality is the Torah doesn't give us any dimensions for the Kior and Kano. It gives us one bit of information, which is Nechoshet, bronze. But that's it. So that's what we get. Vayasa v'Kior Nechoshet v'Kano Nechoshet. Good. And then we the second half of the pasuk is filled with riddles. B'marot hatsovot. I don't know what marot means. Most of my translations say mirrors. But, okay. It's a little bit odd, but okay. B'marot hatsovot. Now, this, to understand these two words together, represents something about how smichut works in Hebrew. That marot hatsovot could be understood that sovot is an adjective describing the marot, or genitive, that it's owned. The marot shel hatsovot, because the word shel doesn't show up in Chumash at all, and asher would be a little bit clumsy here. So marot hatsovot, marot shel hatsovot, the marot of the tsovot, and that all depends. Is tsovot an adjective? Well, it's not. It's some sort of a noun. The ones who gather for an army, tsovot. The ones who gather for divine service, that's about the two choices you have in tsovot. And so the tzavot, of course, is in an unusual form because it's feminine, because almost always the verb for tzava is going to come in masculine. So marot hatzavot would either mean the military mirrors, which is just way too weird, or else that marot is mirrors, or else it's marot shel hatzavot. All right, who are the tzavot? Asher tzavu petach ol moed. So now we get this word tzava twice. Who are these sovot? They're people who gathered for some service in front of Olam Moed. All right. So then that leads us to the following. We'll go straight to the Targum that we call Unklus. Va'avad yad kiora denachasha v'yad besise denachasha. That's straight up translation. B'mechziat neshaya, which means the mirrors of the women. So he translated as mirrors. Da'atyan letzala'a b'tramash kanzimna. They'd come to pray at the gate, at the door of the Ohel Moed. Okay. So before we do anything else, just working with that as a translation, what does that mean? It means that Bezalel took some material that he was given, and he melted it down and turned it into a kior. And what was the material? Mirrors. Mirrors in the biblical times were made out of metals, because they hadn't yet figured out how to make glass. That's a Roman era thing. So making out of metal. Okay, so take the metal, melt it down, and turn it into a kior. Whose mirrors? Which women?
Gathered.
Which women? The women who gathered. Women who gathered where?
The well-worn women.
Yeah.
What? In front of Ohel Moed. Does anybody see a problem with this? Okay. This is a little bit of a sequencing problem. What is it that Bezalel was doing? He's constructing all of the kelim that are going to be put into the Ohel Moed. Correct? What? Doesn't exist yet. And by the way, you could say that it's kind of happening simultaneously. The problem is that these are women who have already earned their rights, or who have already made themselves available because they're there, or whatever it is, or had to pay a fee, whatever it was, because they were already gathered to do service or whatever it is, Petach Ohel Moed. And as a result of that, they got to or had to give their mirrors that were made for the kior that was set up before we opened up Petach Ohel Moed. Whoops. We got a problem here. Okay? And now, before going any further, there's a very famous Midrash. We won't read the whole Midrash. Rashi quotes the Midrash. We're going to look at Rashi, but the original Midrash is above, and it's not the same as Rashi. We read the way that Rashi reads it. It's in Source 4. Marot HaTzavot. Very famous Rashi. And by the way, this is the biggest bit of attention in the whole Parsha. If you read Parsha Vayakel with Rashi, you'll find a few comments of Rashi. And almost always, I think at the beginning of the Maaseh Mishkan, he says, I've already explained it in Truma, Ayin Sham. And then here, he's got a very big comment. Benot Yisrael, hayu biyadan mar'ot. The Jewish women had mirrors. Shiro'ot b'en k'shein mitkashtot. They would use it when they would get all prettied up. V'afotan lo'ikvum ilahavim l'nidvat ha'mishkan. Now notice the way Rashi reads it, is they didn't even hold those back. In other words, these were personal items that were very important to them, and they even donated them. Vayam ois Moshe b'hem. And Moshe rejected them. Why did he reject them? Nesha asuyim liyetzer hara. What was wrong with these mirrors? These mirrors are all used for sexual attraction. And that's considered not appropriate to be in the Mishkan. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu kabel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, accept them. Now, remember, none of this is in the Pasuk. None of this.
Gelt.
What? Well, no, actually, he said it all better. Because remember, unlike any other event in Jewish history, this was the one occasion where the Gaboim said, Genug. Right. We never have that other times, but here we have at the beginning of our Parsha that the Bnei Yisrael brought enough, and the Moshe said, enough. So there's something else going on. They donate these mirrors, and Moshe doesn't want them because they're all about sexual attraction. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Kabel, why? Ki elu chavivin alai min hakol. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I love these mirrors more than anything else. Why? Shalidehem emidu anashim tzvaot rabot b'mitzrayim. Now, what's Rashi, really the Midrash, trying to solve here? Trying to solve several things. The first thing is, we do not hear, in the case of any other things that Bezalel built, where the stuff came from. Because it all came from the general fund. So he had gold, and he had silver, and he had wood, and then all the fabric stuff. Here, suddenly, the Torah spends half of the entire Parsha of the Marot, which is one Pasuk, telling us where it came from. So he says, aha, so what is the special thing about these Marot? The Marot HaTzovot. Now, remember, Tzovot means gathering for an army. So the Midrash does not even entertain the possibility, and nor should it, that these are women who fought in an army. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense because there's nothing to back it up textually. It doesn't make sense anthropologically in any sense. So he says, why is it called Marot HaTzovot? Not because these women gathered for some tzava thing, but rather because they use these mirrors to create the tzava. Which tzava? Our tzava. Let's see how that works. And this is a piece of the famous Tapuach Midrash. Right? You're familiar when we talked about this a couple years ago, Pesach, that the charoset, the Gemara says, when charoset, you have to mix in two things. Right? There's two things that are mentioned. There has to be wine in it, and it has to be, there's the apples. So why apples? Zecher le Tapuach. What's Tapuach? So this whole Midrash about the women seducing the men. The men did not want to have relations with their wives because the kids are going to be killed. And the women, having greater faith, seduced their husbands. And it's Tafka, don't be under the apple tree with anybody else but me. And from that, all these children were born. Then the famous Haggadah, that the children were buried. And then when we see Mitzrayim, they all came out of the ground. This beautiful, beautiful Haggadah. Hayu ochotu molichot lehem ma'achal u'mishteb. The women would go take food and drink to their husbands. They would go and feed them. They got in the field while their husbands are working, it's back-breaking work. They go and feed them, and they would take the mirrors. Now this is very strange, because you don't really need to go this far. You could say, and the women use the mirrors at home to make themselves beautiful, to go seduce their husbands. But instead, it becomes something where the husbands are sort of part of the mirror, in a sense that the wife goes out with the food and brings the mirror, and then does a little selfie. And Rashi doesn't use the word selfie, but it's, I think, in the super commentary. But that look at the two of us together, and that gets him excited. Lomar ani na'am imcha, right? And says, oh, look, I'm so beautiful. Toch kach v'yod lebalein lidei ta'avam nizkakot lam. And that would get their husbands excited in the middle of the workday, and they would have relations with them. Umit abrot v'yoldot sham, and they would become pregnant, and they'd give birth there.
Immediately?
What?
Immediately? No.
But they'd go back and give birth there, evidently. Shenemar, tachat ha'tapuach oratich. The pasuk in Shir Hashirim. I awakened you underneath the apple tree. Now, there's no apple trees here, right? But that's in the sense. V'zeu shenemar b'marot ha'tzovot. That's why these are called marot ha'tzovot. Right? But notice, the marot ha'tzovot here is a whole different meaning. It's the mirrors used by women who created a tzava. And that's, of course, famously, when we leave Mitzrayim, what does it say? Hotzi Hashem et Bnei Yisrael al tziv otam. It's too called tziv ot Hashem Mitzrayim. Rabbi Schneerson did not make up the term. It's in Chumash. Right? V'nasah kior mehem. And so the thing was that kior was made from that. Why? Shu lasum shalom bein ish l'ishto. And this is part of the larger midrash on top from Tanchuma, which is going to play a role, and we're going to see later on from a different, very different perspective. Is what was the kior for? Well, the kior was essentially for rechitzat yadayim v'raglayim, kiddush yadayim v'raglayim, when the kohanim would go to do avodah. A secondary and very occasional, if ever, use of it was the waters for sota. It was taken from the kior. And what is the whole purpose of the sota ceremony? Is not to find her guilty and have her blow up. It's to be able to exonerate her and have the husband see, aha, my suspicions were unfounded, and to restore domestic tranquility. The famous Rambam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, even take my name and erase it, to bring peace between a husband and wife. And therefore, Lashkot Rimayim Shepetochot Shekineh LaBa'ala V'nistera. So in other words, the same kior that's going to serve the purpose of restoring domestic tranquility is made from mirrors that were used to create a family among a couple that was, in some sense, disunited, and to bring them together. And that was all the woman generated the whole thing, so this whole the whole thing comes from the woman. And what's his proof? Tedalacha, shein marot mamash. They really are mirrors. Sharei ne'amar, nechoshet ha'tnufa shivim kikar. In the beginning of Pkudei, it lists all of the donations, here's a list of the amounts and the weights of all the donations, the gold, the silver, the bronze. It's called Nechoshet HaTnufa, and it says what's it used for, and it's used for the kelim that are on the Mizbeach, etc. It does not mention the kior in that list. So the fact it doesn't mention the kior, because the kior comes from something else. V'yazba, v'kior v'kano lo'uz k'rusha. In other words, the regular nechoshet contribution did not take care of the kior. Kior came from a special fund. That special fund was these mirrors. Kach doresh Rabbi Tanchuma. And Rashi gives credit to the Midrash Tanchuma. V'chein tergem uklus b'mechziat neshaya. And Rashi says, by the way, that's our targum. It says mechziat, which is mirrors. So marot becomes mirrors. Because evidently, why is Rashi pushing on this? Notice he says, you should know they're mirrors, and Uncle says they're mirrors, because evidently it's not so obvious that they're mirrors. First of all, because the word marot, as far as I know, does not show up elsewhere in Chumash. So it's a little bit unattested. How do we know what it means? And we know what the root is, to see, or to, but how do we know it means a mirror? We'll see that there's another approach in this. Hutagum shel marot, and he has mirrors in Hanikalt, in French. Chen matzinim Yishaya v'hagil yonim etargum nechziyata. Now, what's the passage in Yishaya? Just as a side thing, towards the beginning of Yishayahu, there is a blistering nevuah against the women, the married women of Yerushalayim, who are walking around trying to seduce the young men. And describes all the different things that they would wear, and their perfumes, and their kicking up their heels, and all this stuff. And one of the things it mentions is gilyonim, and the targum there, which is not Uklus, of course, the targum there says the same word, mechziyata. So all that proves is that mirrors are something that existed in the time of Tanakh. It doesn't prove anything about marot, because they don't use the word marot there. Okay, Rashi is really pushing on this idea that marot, first of all, means mirrors, as opposed to something else, and that there's this whole background. Good. So we're going to see in other Rishonim it could mean something else. The problem is this doesn't really solve the end of the Pasuk. Marot HaTzavot gets solved. But Asher Tzavu Petach Omoed, what's that? Now you can say, you could say, but we can't get away with it, that Petach Omoed is a description of the Kior. Right? The Kior. Because the Kior sits Petach Omoed. Here's the tent, okay? Here's right here. Here's Olam Moed. Here we go. Kodesh Kedoshim, right? Kodesh. Here's the tent cover, all right? Kior is right here. It is right in front. I get that. So you could say that Petach Olam Moed is not talking about the women, it's talking about the Kior, but it's not true, because look at the Pasuk. Vayas et ha-Kior nechoshim et kanon nechoshim b'marot ha-tzovot asher tzavu Petach Olam Moed. It's describing the women. Besides which, a larger problem is that nowhere in Vayakel is there a mention of location. Vayakel is all about building stuff and constructing stuff and setting it up. Pekudei is all about location. He puts this here and he puts that there, puts that on the north side and that on the south side, etc. So it would make no sense to say Petach HaMoed here is referring to where the Kior is. So we still have this problem with Asher Tzavu Petach HaMoed. What does that mean? All right, so flip the page. We'll see a couple other approaches here. And then there's the question I asked at the beginning, which is, Ohel Moed, what's that? So Ibn Ezra has the following piece. First of all, Ibn Ezra is bothered by the bet. Bim Marot HaTzavot. What is that? Bim Marot HaTzavot. I mean in. So Ibn Ezra right away says, Abet Bim Kom Mem. Right? Bim, right? Mi Marot HaTzavot. Means he meant it from that. And he gives it a proof. Anotar Babasar. It's Anotar Mina Basar. Okay. Vetam HaTzavot. Says hachachamot. Now the Ibn Ezra goes in a direction which is, and this is not a problem with Ibn Ezra, which in a sense is very different in tone from the Midrash. Hachachamot shetavu hachamisha nizkarim o nashim baot. In other words, maybe these women, why were they tzovot petach omoed? Because maybe they were actually working in doing the spinning of the fabric, which is mentioned anashim tavu. So maybe that's the women that we're talking about. And that there were, so that's the Petach Olam Moed is a problem. How do you have that? There is no Petach Olam Moed. Onashim ba'ot tamid palel o makom ha'ohel. He says another possibility is maybe the women would come to pray b'makom ha'ohel. Ve'azvu kol ta'avot ha'olam. In other words, these are like nuns. These are women who have sworn off all of the pleasures of the world, which means what are they now donating?
They don't need the mirror.
The mirrors, so it's almost the opposite. The Midrash goes in the direction of saying that God loves this thing that's used for sexual enticement because it's what, through Emunah, brought about the nation. Here it's women who have gone into an ascetic direction. All right, now you can translate on your own. I'm not going to get in trouble. All right. Now, there is a yet another approach to this that is taken. Yes, the Shaddam makes the following suggestion. It's actually made by I think, one of the Rishonim also. He says, what's Ohel Moed? So please take a look for a moment at source 12. And this is a suggestion made by several of the commentators to solve our problem. How could the women have been gathering in front of Ohel Moed, and then they donate the mirrors that are used for the kior, which is made before the Ohel Moed is up. Okay, it doesn't make sense. So, Moshe yikach et ha'ohel. This is after the Egel, and this is before, of course, before they've constructed the Mishkan. Moshe yikach et ha'ohel. Which tent is this? This is his tent. V'natalo michutz l'machaneh. He leaves the machaneh. He sets up camp outside of camp. Why? Because the notion is Am Yisrael is messed up, and they've betrayed God, and I'm loyal to God, so I'm walking away too. Okay? Harcheg min ha'machaneh. V'kara lo ohel moed. What did Moshe call it? Ohel moed. What does ohel moed mean? A tent of meeting.
Where he meets God.
What?
Where he meets God.
Right. Or where people meet him. Right? V'yakom lakesh Adonai yitzel ohel moed ha'shem michutz ha'machaneh. So anybody who's seeking God would then come to Ohel Moed, which is outside of the camp. What does that mean? So it could mean that somebody wants to pray to God, that's where the place is. Or it could mean, Makesh Hashem means they wanted to ask Moshe, and Moshe's there. Vayak etzeit Moshe el ha'oel yakumu chol ami yitzhu ish betach ha'olo, vituach ha'moshe ad bo'o ha'olala. Everybody would stand out inside of their own tent and stand up and watch Moshe go to his tent. Vayak bo Moshe ha'olala yirir amun anan anan petach ha'oel. So there actually is a thing called petach ha'oel here. So Shadal says, oh, that's the tent we're talking about. You know, during the time of construction of the Mishkan, there were these women who would gather in front of Moshe's tent to learn Torah, and they were the saintly women, and therefore their mirrors got to make it in to the, and that solves the problem. Moshe Tzavu Petach Ohel Moed. The problem is, Tzavu doesn't work here. What does the verb Tzavu mean, or the verb Tzava? Litzbot Tzava. So it either means to gather for an army, or as we find, for instance, in source 7, Nasot Rosh B'nei Gershon Gamim, Levet Avotam Lishpachotam, Begin in Parshat Naso, Miben 30 Shana Mala, Ben 50 Shana Atif Korotam, Kol Abal Litzvot Tzava, which means, La'avod Avodah Be'ol Moed. So the verb Tzava clearly, it's explicit in the Pasuk, which we also know is has a military component, also has a sense of array in the Avodah. The Levim are here, the Kohanim are there, everything else. And that's kind of what the word seems to mean. Just like in army, you have a formation, so you have a formation in the Avodah. Which means now we're talking about women who are standing in some sort of formation outside of Petach Ohel Moed. If Petach Ohel Moed means Moshe's tent, what the heck is a formation there for? It's all very strange. To show you how difficult the Pasuk is, and again,
Tzavah is either military or it's service.
Divine service in the Mishkan, right.
But it's women are providing divine
service. Exactly. The whole thing is a very difficult figure.
No, but if you're saying that, maybe what you're saying is that it's in an organized predetermined.
But at the end, these are divine viewed. We never heard of this. And as we never hear, okay, and all the women should come
nobody
on.
Nobody ever hears of it until you hear of it.
I mean, no, I understand, but it's what I mean is it's referencing something that we never heard set up, right? If we hear the Levim coming in doing Avodah, we heard in the Levim we're supposed to do Avodah. We never heard about this that we can, we're kind of missing the anchor on it.
Maybe there was no tzivui on the women to do this.
Could be. And that, other way, by the way, everybody seems to have that in common, that whatever the women are doing here is voluntary.
Voluntary.
Right. Okay, let's see. But an important rule about Parshanut is the wider the range of explanations, the more difficult the Pasuk is. It's a very straightforward thing. Yeah. All right? You have the names of Yishmael's sons, nobody pays attention, there's no disagreement about it, because names. On the other hand, you have a Pasuk like Asher Yamiyah Yom Bahar Hashem Yerael, which is a real head-breaking Pasuk. Everybody's got a different interpretation. And the fact that there's a wide range of interpretation. So we read this pasuk, and again, we're lulled because it's Vayakel, and it's the end of Vayakel. Right? We're lulled into kind of not an ennui, but sort of a dozing kind of mode. Realize this pasuk is filled with difficulties. And you can see it by looking at the Mefarshim. Take a look here at Rabbi Yosef Bechor Shor, source 8. The Chizkuni echoes what he says. We'll just take a look at the book. Rabbi Yosef Bechor Shor, by the way, very, very important commentator, Talmid of Rabbeinu Tam. And so he represents, to some extent, the French school of Parshanut, somewhat innovative approach and a Pashtan to a great extent, but very much on his own, very independent. The Marot HaTzovot, So he says, Shayan Natun Ben Ora Moed Avena Mizbeach. In other words, he says, B'marot HaTzavot doesn't mean mirrors. Marot means eye place, place that you could see, visual contact. That the kior was put where, and this we know, was put between the tent and the Mizbeach. All right, so again, here's the Ohel Moed, here's the Mizbeach.
You're saying eye shot?
Yeah. And I watch what he said, but he's going to tie it into the Midrash through the back door. Watch this. What do we want? We want any women who come to the Mishkan to be able to see the Kior. We want it to be something that they can see from the outside. Why? Because the Kior is where we give the Sotot water, and he's building on the famous Mishnah in Masachat Sota. The Mishnah in Masachat Sota says that when they're doing a Sota ceremony, all the women are obligated to come, based on the Pasuk in Yechezkel that he references, V'nivasru kol hanashim v'lo tasana kazim atchena. All the women should see that so that they should be like deterred from ever doing anything that would get them in similar hot water. Not hot water, but poisonous water. Right? And the Chizkuni says the same thing, which means, by the way, he says, b'marot, and look at the end, he says, b'makom ri'iyatan. So marot doesn't mean mirrors, it means rather viewpoint. Right? So that, in other words, now, and this is so difficult to say.
Ri'iyatan in the feminine.
What? Ri'iyatan. The women should see it. But what's very difficult about this is two things. First of all, the end of the pasuk is still not solved. Asher savu petacho moed doesn't help. Unless you're going to say that women would rather regularly gather in this savu mode, whatever that is, outside of the ohel moed, and they would look, and they would make sure to have this be in their line of sight to keep them warned.
Or where they gathered when there was a sota ceremony.
Or they would get, right. So then, this pasuk is very strange on two counts. Count one is, like I said, all of Vayakel is not about location. Nothing in Vayakel is about location. That's Pekude. In Pekude, we have a pasuk that says, medical, I don't have it here, but that they put the kior, ben ama ol men ol men ol mizbeach. Right? They put it there. This is not about location. Second thing is that it's using such a bizarre phrase for location. Right? So, it's a difficult thing. There's one other problem with both of these approaches. We have the approach of the Midrash, which is beautiful, it's gorgeous, and it's just not anchored in Pshat at all. We have the approach of the Shaddal, who says that the Ohel Moed here is Moshe's Ohel, and they were gathered there for the Tolin Torah, to Daven. That's also difficult. It's difficult also because Petach Ohel Moed is a very specific halachic place. Such thing doesn't exist with Moshe's tent. We have the approach of the Bechor Shor and the Chizkuni, which indicate that it means really that it was set up there, and that's difficult because it doesn't fit. We have another problem with the approach, both of those approaches, especially the Shaddal, because there's only one other place in all of Tanakh where there's call that we hear about Nashim Tzovot. Where is that? It's in Source 10. It's a pasuk we learned here together many years ago. Ve'eliza kein meod. This is in Perek Bet in Shmuel Aleph. He heard the rumors of all the terrible things his kids are doing. You never want to name your kid Chofni. They lay with the women. And here Petach Ohel Moed is not Eli's tent. It's the Mishkan, clearly. All right. And here you have, it's the only other time where you have this Hatzovot. So the Radak here, picking up on Chazal, says, Sovot is again women who were coming to bring korbanot, and they're waiting there on the famous thing that Chofim Pinchas delayed their korbanot, etc. And we talked about that bizmano. So it's very difficult to talk about Petach Ohel Moed as Moshe's. On the other hand, to say that Petach Ohel Moed means the Mishkan, and the Mishkan is set up, and there's women who are coming to do some sort of what Savah thing is, we don't know what that is. And then as a result of that, their mirrors get to be used for the Kior, which we haven't set up yet, is all sequencing difficult. So I want to ask you the following question. Whenever you hear the phrase Petach Ohel Moed, what do you picture? What do you picture when you hear the phrase?
The
entrance of the Ohel Moed. What do you picture? Let me draw it for me. Right? There's a tent. And the tent has all these big fancy covers on it. Right? And inside there's kelim and it's all gold. And there's a door. And the door's open and you're standing in front of the door. Petach Ohel Moed, which means that the place is an absolutely completed place, everything's done, and now there's a door to it, and you're standing in front of the door, praying, waiting for a korban to be done, watching the service, whatever. Problem is that we have several psukim in Chumash itself that indicate that that might not be the case. Take a look at the bottom of the page. In Parshat Tzav, we're told about how to sanctify the Kohanim. Now, sanctifying the Kohanim is a seven-day process called Shivat Yimei HaMiluim, inauguration. Miluim really means inauguration, although we use it for something else today. Veit kol ha'idah ha'kel el petach o'el moed. Moshe is told to gather everybody to petach o'el moed. And there's a whole ceremony done. And in the, throughout the Psukim, petach o'el moed is mentioned consistently. And at the very end of the Parsha, Aaron and his sons are told, Ufet, petach o'el moed lo teitzu shivat yamim ad yom melod yimei milu'echem. For 7 days, you're going to sit petach ol moed until you finish with this, right? Kishivat yamim alei yadcham. It takes 7 days to be inaugurated. What? It means inauguration. The malayat yado means to like inaugurate somebody or to initiate for somebody. Wait, what 7 days are these? So according to most opinions, not the Ibn Ezra, but according to most opinions, following Rashi, these are the 7 days that are the end of Adar. Because what's the day after these 7 days called? Yom HaShmini. And what's Yom HaShmini? According to almost every Rosh Chodesh Nisan. What happened on Rosh Chodesh Nisan? The Mishkan was erected. Whoa, time out! The Mishkan was erected on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, so where's this Petach Ohel Moed? So I'd like to propose the following. And this will put all three things together. When did this entire project begin? We have a project that has finished on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, what we're calling Rosh Chodesh Nisan. When did this entire project begin? The enterprise of building a Mishkan.
3 months before.
So according to our tradition, the day after Yom Kippur, right? Moshe Rabbeinu comes on Yom Kippur with the Luchot Tzniot, says, it's okay, it's months and it's plural, it's good. Right? And then Moshe comes down and he says, I got these mitzvot. Everybody starts bringing donations. Matter of fact, there's a beautiful midrash that says the Mishkan was actually completed on Chafei B'Kislev. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, you wait, I've got another holiday waiting for Chafei B'Kislev. In the meantime, wait till Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Beautiful. But it was going on for months. What was going on? Let me stop and think about what was going on all winter. This is not a small little gathering. This is over a million people gathered in a huge camp, set up, you know, however they're set up. What's going on?
You mean, what are they doing every
day? What's happening in the relation to the Mishkan? What's happening? So they brought all the donations. Then what?
They built. They're building.
Where are they building? Where?
Well, they could build some of it outside.
Outside what?
Outside whatever the space is going to be.
Thank you. You just said the key words. The space is going to be.
Right.
Which means they're at the foot of Har Sinai. They're going to construct an Ohel Moed, and they're going to inaugurate it at the foot of Har Sinai. I'm going to suggest that there was already a preordained spot for that to happen. I'm not making it up. What happens at the end of Parshat Mishpatim? Moshe comes out of the cloud at the foot of Har Sinai. What does he set up? A Mizbeach. And brings Korbanot. So there's already a place of Avodah at the foot of Har Sinai. It stands to reason that that's the location he's going to set up the Ohel Moed. So in the meantime, what's happening during all this time?
So there's Egel going on at the same time.
What?
Egel's also.
Egel happened before. Egel happened in the summer. We're talking about after Yom Kippur, right?
At the same location. Talking about that space.
I'm not sure that the Egel was at that same location. We don't know where the Egel was. That it was next to where the Mizbeach was, right? There's Har Sinai is a big place. I don't know where it is. You don't know. Nobody knows where it is. One thing I know is it's not Santa Catarina, but it's big enough space to house that many people. And camped and set up. So at some point, but there was a Mizbeach there. What happened to the Mizbeach? You think they tore the Mizbeach down, violating one of the rules of the Torah? Don't make sense. So very likely, that's the spot where they're going to set it up, which means there's already a spot where we're going to be building. And what do you think is happening during the whole winter? People bring donations to there. And then what are they doing there? Bezalel and his men are working there. And they're setting it up. In the meantime, who else is helping out? Well, we know from the Torah earlier that women are helping out. They're spinning fabric and they're doing whatever, Nashim HaChachamot. So they're serving. Service to the Mishkan. So these women who are serving Petach Oel Moed, meaning the location where the Oel Moed is going to be set up, and it's already got a spot, and they're sitting right in front of there and doing that work, those are the women whose mirrors get to be used for the Kiyor. Asher Tzavu, past tense, because during all those months of building, they're the ones who stayed there. And so now, the Pasuk is not telling us location. That's for Pkude, and we get it in Pkude. Right? And the Pasuk is talking about the real Ohel Moed, the only place that ever has a Petach Ohel Moed, not Petach Ohel, Petach Ohel Moed. And it's directly related. And there are women who actually served in service of the Mishkan, of doing their work in contributing towards the Mishkan. And because they sat in these arrays, like a tzava, so these women are the ones who are zocha to have their little bronze mirrors used for the kior that's going to then, you know, be in at the core of it. Now, from that, you'd like to make the beautiful connection of women's role in the geula and using their beauty to increase the population and go against the husband's despair, which is a core piece of the whole nashim tzidkaniyot mode. That's whipped cream and cherry. But the core we got to work with is, where's this Petach Ohel Moed Asher Tzavu? So I'd like to suggest that the location was something that was already known, which is why Moshe could tell Aharon, you guys stay Petach Ohel Moed for 7 days until we set it up. Because we're going to set it up on the 8th day. All right? And so hopefully that clears a little bit of Pasuk, but also gives a little more background about what's actually going on during these months between the command and the great dedication of Rosh Chodesh Nisan.
And they're not wondering at that point.
No.